Welcome to PSM, the Professional Services Marketing Podcast. It's insight applied. And now, here's Brad and Scully.
Hello and welcome to PSM. If it's about professional services marketing, we'll be covering it here. I'm Brad Entwistle, and this is episode 100 for Friday, September 22nd, 2017.
G'day from WA.
That is Scully. How are you, my friend?
Very well, very well. 100 episodes. Who'd have thought we'd even live that long?
I won't add up the amount of time that means we've spent preparing and actually doing them. Most of it, of course, just like this, you in Perth and me in Sydney, but occasionally face-to-face in the same room, either in Sydney or in Perth.
That's right. Yeah, but we're across the Nullarbor Plain this time. So look, what a trip down memory lane. We've just listened to a few of your wonderful interviews, and I've got to say there's some great content.
Well, we thought we'd do something a little different for 100 episodes. So rather than the usual rally drive through the rough turf of news that you can use, what we're going to do is bring you some interviews that hopefully you can use. So we thought we'd go back and pull out some of the clips of interviews, just portions of interviews that we've done over the last 100 episodes. And, well, you got all nostalgic.
I did. I mean, Robert Rose, I remember it so well. Fantastic episode. And then I didn't remember it was PSM 005.
I can't even say it. That's our numbering system. Yes.
That's right. So that's 95 episodes ago. Now, the guy is a legend in the world of content. And to think we were almost into him before he was famous.
Yes,
we knew. We were into his early stuff.
Yeah, we were interviewing for his, I think, third book.
Yeah.
But it was nice. I mean, as you say, he's the guy that wrote the owner's manual for content marketing, so to speak, which was the book Managing Content Marketing, and is the co-host of another podcast. A tad more listeners than us, I think. But yes, this old marketing podcast, very big. And it's, you know, for us, that's a bit of a weekly ritual to have a listen to Robert and his partner, Joe Paluzzi, from the Content Marketing Institute. Great content in their podcast. But he'd just released his book called Experiences, The Seventh Era of Marketing. And let's go straight to the clip and see what he has to say.
Well, it probably bears defining experiences, right? Because experiences or content, if you think about it, you know, a physical event is truly content, right? It's really anything that communicates or provides you with some level of experience of value. And that can be a physical event. It could be something you read. It can be something you watch. It could be something you listen to. And it's really that sort of transfer of emotion or information that you're trying to get to. So ultimately, they become experiences. And so they're not terribly different from each other when we sort of peel back the layers of definition. Mm-hmm. The true idea, however, is that we're not just trying to deliver words. We're not trying to deliver, you know, a visual image. We're trying to deliver impact. We're trying to deliver an experience. And it's truly, in today's disruptive world, one of the only differentiators we have left. You know, our competitors can copy our product. They can copy our service. They can deliver it cheaper. They can deliver it with more efficiency. They can deliver it with more power. But if we can figure out a way to deliver extra value or a differentiated experience on top of the product or service, well, now we've got something that can't be copied. You know, as Seth Godin says, you know, content really is the only differentiator. And I'll say experiences really are the only differentiator we have left. I would argue that it's probably more important for smaller organizations than it is for bigger ones. You know, the bigger ones are certainly the ones that get all the attention because they've got budget and money to be able to put behind it, especially the promotion of it. But if you even look at some of the disruptive startup companies there, you know, so companies like Uber or Lyft or, you know, Zappos, or companies that are really redefining what the customer experience is for a particular sector or industry, these are the ones that are making the biggest waves right now. And so for a startup company, especially one that may be focused on services, professional services, it is in how we actually deliver that professional service or that experience that's really going to differentiate us. And so, you know, we see in our research that smaller companies are really spending more money, more time, more effort on this because it helps leverage them against and compete against the bigger companies in their space. And in many cases, you know, in my own personal history, working at a very small startup company, developing content-oriented experiences was a way that I could compete with IBM and Microsoft and HP because I looked like a thought leader in my space. And by delivering that experience, either physical events, webinars, white papers, blog, podcasts, all of those things, I now looked more professional, more thought leader-y, if that's the right word, and more advanced than my bigger competitors. And it helped me bolster a resume and compete when otherwise I would never compete with those big companies. So it's really important for startup companies and small companies.
So it's all about differentiating experience and the timeless thought leader-y. I remember that.
Thought leader-y. Well done, Rob Rose. But I think the impact, if you excuse that, because Robert is talking about impact, is that the new marketing landscape for professional services has been totally turned on its head. It used to favor the big, the established, the big credibility, but no longer. You can differentiate yourself, offer that new and differentiated experience, and deliver impact, even if you're a one-person firm and have a laptop and a connection to the internet.
That's right. It's all right. By delivering that extra value, whether that's just in the way you interact with people, or whether there's some twist, it's if you're delivering what you're doing with enthusiastic exuberance and just a little twist, the way you talked about the disruption of Uber, it's redefining the whole marketplace. So don't just do what you've always done. Think how you can be perceived differently.
So Robert Rose, just an update, he has just released his new book with Joe Paluzzi called Killing Marketing, and I haven't read it yet. I haven't received my copy yet, but I believe on all reports, well worth a read. The book that he's talking about there again is Experiences, the Seventh Era of Marketing, and check them out. This Old Marketing Podcast.
This is PSM. It's Insight Applied.
Now, Joe Calloway is an author that I really love. I really wanted to interview Joe, so I was really, really pleased where I was able to arrange to get him off the back of one of his extended road trips. And he'd just got home to Nashville and was able to really invest some time with me, which I was just tickled pink, because Joe's one of those guys that he's been around for a long time. He does a lot of speaking engagements, has written quite a few books, but one of his books made a particular impact on me quite some years ago, and it was called Becoming a Category of One. And it so applies to professional services firms. So Scully, I mean, we're about to have a listen, but what were your thoughts when we aired that episode?
I mean, he's been around a long time. But just his take, the mindset, now it seems to be a little more commonly thought, but he's really challenging us all to put what matters most to our clients. Put them first. Think what matters point. And we may call that pressure points, all sorts of things now. But put yourself in their position and answer their problems. And by that mindset, he's called it in the box. He just knows how to communicate and innovate to bring great results. Fantastic.
So let's have a listen. This is Joe Calloway back from episode 7.
In the States, there's a company called Zappos, and they started out selling only shoes over the internet. Now they sell more than that, but it's still mostly shoes. And Brad, this is a company that's been featured on the cover of business magazines around the world. People flock to Las Vegas, where their headquarters is, to tour and learn about their culture and this remarkable company. But when you look at, and I've surveyed many, many, many Zappos customers, when you look at what they do well, it's inventory. They've got a great selection, lightning fast shipping, a really generous and easy returns policy, and then really incredible telephone customer service. So, you know, people always talk about thinking outside the box, which is, I get it, and I agree with that. And yet, you look at a company like Zappos, and where are they winning? They're winning on inventory, delivery, returns, and service. Well, that's as in the box and as basic as you can get. But, and here's where the phrase came from, they are so good at those basics that they are cutting edge. And so that's how they win. And ultimately, I think that's how lots of companies, lots of organizations of all kinds succeed in the marketplace, by constantly improving and innovating on those things that matter most. One way to look at it is this, and I think probably the most productive way. What are the things that matter most to your customer? And people define customer 1,000 different ways. So that could mean different things to different people. But the people that you serve, or the businesses that you serve, what matters most to them? Those are the things that I would say constitute the basics, the fundamentals, and they are inside the box. And I don't tell people to be just competitive on the fundamentals or inside the box. I say, if you can win on those fundamentals inside the box, if you can win on those things, then you win. Mm. I mean, you win in the marketplace. But again, that's not easy. In fact, it's very difficult to actually win, to be so good at the fundamentals that you differentiate yourself. That's not easy to do, but it's a pretty sure recipe for success.
I just love how different authors of books, in this case, but in different interviews, dovetail from entirely different directions. And they're talking about its experience. It's about doing the basics really well. Robert Rose wasn't necessarily talking about doing the basics well as Joe Calloway was, but both of them talking about experiences, doing it well, making those little things stand out and differentiate us. Because let's face it, from the point of view of most professional services firms, the actual work we do, there might be small differences, but they're not differences that most of our clients can easily decipher, but they can decipher something that they experience.
Yeah, I mean, even if there is a difference, they can't see it from the outside necessarily. But yeah, they now, what are those experiences? They may just be the human touch. They'd just be your even more professional, any your digital interaction, the response, where you get back to people, or the library of content you have, whatever it is, stand out from the crowd by being really, really good.
This is PSM. It's Insight Applied.
And now to episode number 9, and this is Dr. Robert Cialdini, who is, well, over the last 30 years he's spent researching the psychology of influence. He's actually apparently the most cited living social psychologist in the world today. And along the way, he's authored some books that have become business standards, sold millions of copies. And of course, there I'm talking about Influence, the psychology of persuasion, which it's amazing how many offices I visit and there's a copy of that book, Influence, sitting behind the desk. This is the guy that everybody refers to when they're doing uni.
Yeah, no, he is. And he just speaks so clearly about making your case. Now, whether you're making your case as an academic or making your case as a business or making your case as a professional firm trying to win a tender or whatever it is may you be doing, he speaks clearly. And he explains so beautifully what we need to do to persuade. Well, I'll hold back on the other word that he leads into, to persuade people to use your services rather than anyone else's.
So let's have a listen to episode 9, way back then, Dr. Robert Cialdini.
I think influence is at the core of so many of the responsibilities we have in business. It applies to moving people in our direction, both inside and outside of the organizational envelope. That is, it applies to moving our clients and our customers and our prospects, even our vendors or our regulators in our direction. But it also applies to moving our colleagues and the people we work with in our direction so that they can be aligned with our initiatives and ideas, which is as relevant to the bottom line as moving our customers and clients productively in positive directions. The most powerful thing we can do to move people in our direction is not to spend time developing the features and aspects and merits of our case, as because those things will sell themselves. It's what we do before we present the features and merits of our case that often determines whether people will accept our case. And so I think the persuasion process might be better termed the pre-suasion process. It's always about what we do before we make our case that determines whether people will open their ears, open their minds to the good case we have to make.
Now, Scully, listening to that, I've got to say, I just remembered he, again, had been on the road and the only way we could get to talk was on the telephone. And I just realised in the age of Skype and wonderful recording quality, just how bad telephones really were.
Yeah, but the message is true, isn't it? And he's moved from just influencing and the psychology of persuasion to persuasion.
Well, his new book, which is doing gangbusters.
Yeah. A revolutionary way to influence and persuade. A great interview and just a clever man at just breaking down what we need to do and to do it well.
Now, if you want to find out more about that, you can always visit his site, influenceatwork.com, all as one word, and his two books, of course, Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. If you haven't come across it, that's a great place to start. And then his new book after, I don't know how many years it was, I think 20 years or something, his new book, Persuasion, A Revolutionary Way to Influence and Persuade.
This is PSM. It's Insight Applied.
Now, Josh Miles has become a great friend of us at Professional Services Marketing and Image 7. He was the principal and founder of Miles Design, a firm that specializes in brand strategy and corporate identity and website design for professional services firms based in Indianapolis. And a few years back now, his team joined with another firm, Redwall, to create a new branding firm called Miles Herndon. This is great because this is the first interview we did with Josh based on his book, which is called Bold Brand. Recommend his book to anybody. But just interesting, this was the beginning of a significant and long friendship.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great guy. But he speaks wise words, not least the damning recognition that so few professional services firms are bold in any way, shape, or form. They may be bold individuals, but the branding of them can be more vanilla, bland than bold. And so I love the way he always puts strategy first. And then, yeah, just gets, to use his phrase, gets under the bonnet and really makes a difference. Yeah, a great guy and a clever one.
For our US listeners, that means get under the hood, under the bonnet, particularly British there, old chap.
I know what I'm saying, even if anyone else does.
Let's jump over to Josh from episode 29.
You know, with no offense to professional services firms, I think if you look across them, especially from an outsider's point of view, I think there are very few firms that I would identify as bold in the professional services world. So that was part of what inspired me to write this book, was meeting with and working with all of these professional services firms firsthand. I just kept finding the same business problems over and over. And as you know, marketing is still a relatively new adventure for professional services firms, where, you know, 20, 30 years ago, marketing was only networking and it was only, you know, playing a round of golf or going to a charity dinner. And the idea of creating a impactful and bold brand for a professional services firm is still something that feels a little bit out of reach of many of them, because just to the way these firms have been historically put together. So when we talk about a bold brand, we're looking for something that really is, as you alluded to in the intro, that is very driven by strategy and by positioning, and a firm that can stand out uniquely in the marketplace and have themselves differentiated from their competition. I think it's easy to be familiar with brands in the retail world and to think that really all I need to do is find a new stamp to go on all of my stuff, and I'll just stamp this logo on everything that's not moving. And as long as it looks the same everywhere and says the same thing and it's got my new shade of blue, then I'll just stamp it all over everything. But I think having a more holistic look as you said, I think the most common pain points really are either, I think I need to update my look because it feels a bit dated, I want a new logo, or want a new way of demonstrating what we do visually. And I think equally we hear as often, we have real issues with our website and we want to create a new website. Mm-hmm. So I think those, the website and the logo, are the two sometimes most visual indicators of problems that are underneath, things that are underlying issues that are contributing to the problem. So, you know, as I'm sure similar to your company, we help these firms look under the hood, as it were, and identify what are those additional problems and how do we create really a holistic strategy for positioning this brand.
So I think Josh Miles, they're pretty bold to lay it on the line, but so true. I mean, for most professional services firms, branding, marketing is, well, as the word he used, it's still an adventure.
That's right. But it sounds like he's able, just by looking at a website and a logo, to detect issues. A shrewd man indeed.
His brand sense for professional services firms is highly developed. Let's put it that way.
This is PSM. It's Insight Applied.
Tim Williams, this had to make my list because not only did I really enjoy it, Tim Williams, again, has got on to become a friend of Image 7. In fact, we were talking with him when we were all together in Perth not that long ago. And, well, Tim Williams comes from the world of agencies, but now he's one of the world's leading consultants and thinkers about how professional services firms go about marketing themselves. His firm, which is called Ignition Consulting Group, is based in Salt Lake City. But forget all of that. I mean, he's got lots of great content in his interview, but the thing I had to ask him about right at the beginning was the campaign that, when he was president of R&R, the big agency at the time, they did the famous "What happens here stays here" slogan for Las Vegas, which has been changed a little bit over time to other people saying "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas." So that had to make the cut.
It was interesting how fast that tagline made its way into popular culture. We put together about 30 days after we first started using the line, we put together a reel of all the clips of all the shows on which it had already been mentioned. And of course, it's still happening. The story is not that dissimilar from how a lot of campaigns are developed. We actually had three different campaign concepts that we were presenting to the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority. And this was just one of three choices, one of three recommendations, and wasn't necessarily the at the top of the list at the time. Mm. But this is serendipity, how things kind of happened. The client thought that would resonate the best with their audience, and so off we went. My friend and colleague Ron Baker likes to, when he tells a story, likes to then ask me, "Well, Tim, then how did you get paid for this?" And unfortunately, the answer was by the hour, in the sense that the firm at the time was definitely keeping timesheets, and I'm an advocate of value pricing, as I'm sure you know, mm. Brad. As I say, it was one of three, and we never go in and present something that we don't want the client to buy. I mean, that's never a good idea. Yeah. But so we would have been happy with any of the three options. But it's just shows how hard it is to predict what's really going to hit and stick in pop culture.
Now here we are. What is it? 13 years later, and
that would be about right. Yeah,
it's huge.
Yep, still huge.
So a little bit of levity there, but really crossing over into the value pricing example, which he couldn't get away from as a big advocate, and his colleague Ron Baker, who will actually feature next. But Ron Baker nudging him, niggling him about getting paid by the hour, when the value, of course, was significantly more. What do you think? I mean, it could have been, Scully, it could have been that we never actually got to have the "what happens here stays here" slogan.
Which, of course, has entered, the common parlance throughout the world, hasn't it? I mean, not just about Vegas either. What I found really interesting is the three examples that you put up for a client, and the sort of caveat, "Oh, but of course, we would never put anything that they wouldn't be delighted with any of them." I wonder. You can often have a favorite and you can often push one a little harder. But great insights from a seriously wise man.
This is PSM. It's Insight Applied.
And as we alluded to just a few moments ago, Ron Baker, friend of Tim Williams, also joined us on professional services marketing. He began his career back in 84. He's a CPA, but he started with KPMG's private business advisory services in San Francisco. Today, he's the founder of the VeriSage Institute and an evangelist for value-based pricing in professional services firms. So let's have a listen back from episode 44 of Professional Services Marketing.
I think the timesheet and the billable hour, and they're inextricably linked, are just an anachronistic way for knowledge workers, which is what I like to call people that work in professional firms. They're actually knowledge firms and they're knowledge workers. It's a ridiculous way to charge for the value that they create for their clients. It's like plunging a ruler into an oven to determine its temperature. It's the wrong measuring stick. And I think until we get rid of it, we won't get back to where we need to be, which is a focus on creating value for our clients. It kind of runs also into the definition of what does it mean to be a professional? I think that's a really important distinction. I mean, what does distinguish a professional from, say, another type of worker, a service worker, an industrial worker, day labor? And to me, a professional is somebody who takes responsibility for generating an outcome, not delivering a series of tasks. And the problem with the billable hour and the timesheet is it turns everything professionals do into a series of tasks. Well, if you want a series of tasks, hire a day laborer, you know, walk your dog, clean your gutters, mow your lawn. But if I go to a professional, a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, a marketing agency, a CPA, a lawyer, I'm paying for an outcome and they need to take me all the way to that outcome as best as possible. And that's what I'm paying for. And we got to look at that value in total, not break it up into a series of tasks.
Now, just to clarify, when you say that in total, are you suggesting essentially, and I'm probably getting a little bit tactical here, but the one-line invoice?
Yeah, actually, you don't even need to invoice if you use value pricing, because you're actually having a discussion with the customer upfront, and then you're customizing a series of prices, a set of options. I am a big believer in offering every client three options, just like American Express, a green card, gold card, platinum card, just like Qantas, right? I can fly first class, business class, coach. Give your client the option. They know exactly what the outcome is going to be with each option. They know the scope of the work, they know the price, and they know the payment terms. Once they sign up, there's no need to invoice, there's no need to bill, really, except maybe as a reminder or an admin task or for tax purposes, but they've already agreed to the price. And then you just focus on creating a happy client.
Now, Scully, it seems so simple when Ron talks about value pricing like that, but pretty revolutionary stuff for most professional services firms.
Totally. Well, it's easy. Yeah, the outcome. I can get my head around the outcome, and I'm a total believer in that it's all about the outcome. But ensuring that you're measuring, not with a ruler and an oven, but you're measuring all of the right steps along the way, can be intimidating for any professional services firms. But keep the eye on the goal. It's the outcome and delivering value. Now, whatever firm you're involved in, that's the key point.
So, Ron, just to recap, has written a number of books: Firm of the Future, Pricing on Purpose, Measure What Matters to Customers, Implementing Value Pricing, and The Soul of Enterprise, Dialogues on Business in the Knowledge Economy. Really, really interesting discussion with Ron Baker.
This is PSM. It's Insight Applied.
And this next interview is, I found it one of the most enjoyable, I must say, that I've conducted. Howard Behar is one of the founders of Starbucks, and I actually got to speak to him after reading his book, The Magic Cup. Well, I didn't actually read, I listened to it in the car, an audio book. And it was just a really good, simple story told as a narrative, but with a business parable, one of those books. And yeah, it was really interesting to get a different perspective.
We're listening to one of the greats here. Did well to get him onto interview and then to hear him wax lyrical. Great words.
So episode 69 of Professional Services Marketing, Howard Behar.
Well, when I was in my mid-20s, somebody handed me this little booklet called The Servant as Leader, written by a man named Robert Greenleaf, who coined the term servant leadership. Mm-hmm. And when I read that book, I said, this is what I believe in. And basically it put words and definitions to things that I already believed in. And of course, made me thirsty for more knowledge. And so I became a student of servant leadership throughout the years. And I'm still a student of servant leadership. But it was just because a gift that somebody gave me that got me really interested in it and put words to the beliefs that I had.
So where did those beliefs that were there before the words that were in the book, where did those come from?
I grew up in a family, in family businesses. All, pretty much my father, my brother, brother-in-law, uncles, aunts, all had small business, and pretty much all of them were in consumer-oriented business, retail of some kind. And my dad had a small mom-and-pop grocery store, and I wouldn't say I went to work there because I was just a young kid. My dad was 50 when I was born, so by the time I was really of working age, he'd already retired. But I watched him run his store, and I watched what he did, and it was a neighborhood mom-and-pop grocery store. So the people that he served were his neighbors. They were his friends. They were people that he cared about. They weren't just his customers. They were people that he interacted with, that he socialized with, and he had charge accounts for everybody. Nobody ever paid cash for anything. They would charge their groceries, and at the end of the month, he would send them a bill. Mm-hmm. And one day when I was about 8 years old, I was in the store kind of fooling around, and he asked me to go get a couple of baskets of strawberries. And so I went in the back of the store and I got the baskets of strawberries and I brought them to the front and I watched him put them in the customer's bag and I watched the customer leave. And I noticed that he hadn't rung them up on the register. And I said, Dad, you forgot to ring those up on the register. And he just looked at me and he said, Son, not everything do we do in life do we get paid for. He said, those people are our customers, but they're also our friends and our neighbors. And I happen to know that they love strawberries, but I also happen to know that they're struggling to make ends meet. And so it was just my way of saying, I care about you. And I never forgot that lesson.
And Scully, for me, that was a really impactful interview. I mean, what a simple lesson, but so real, so much about servant leadership, which has been the heart of his career. He happened to do it in coffee.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's actually almost humbling when you hear what he's got to say and when you read more about what he's achieved, because it's, you know, the servant leadership is based on actually caring. Now, if you build a business model around that and you can make it work, that's just wonderful, because as we're looking for differentiation more and more, actually caring, it's not a cynical way of manipulating it. I mean, really caring and demonstrating you care about your clients, you'll make a difference and you'll thrive.
And that almost brings us to the end of this edition 100. Scully, cue the hooter. You're in charge of the hooter. There we go. We celebrate. We celebrate big here at Professional Services Marketing. Scully's just blowing the hooter so hard that he's blowing it apart.
I've ruptured it.
Join us on episode 101 because we've got some big news. Can't tell you too much about it right now, but big news on episode 101. So join us there. We hope you've enjoyed our little romp back through the highlights, if you like, of interviews for professional services marketing in the last 100 episodes. And Scully, thank you for being on the other side of the microphone for us for all 100 episodes.
Yeah, delighted and wonderful to trip down memory lane. Looking forward to the future.
And that is the end of episode 100 of PSM. Of course, if you're listening from the Image 7 website, you can pop over now to your favorite podcast player, subscribe for your fortnightly dose of professional services marketing goodness, search for PSM, Professional Services Marketing, and you'll find us there. Now, if you've got any questions, comments, marketing examples, a rant or rave of your own, email us, psm@image7.com.au. And that is it for this edition of PSM. From Scully and myself, Brad Entwistle, bye for now.
Goodbye.